Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us, come and learn with us. And these are very, very trying times. But I thank God that I have Ms. Barbara Moore here with me. And also, I thank God for the speech of President Ronald Reagan and the sacrifices of many, especially one Martin Treptow, who, you know, took it upon himself, you know, as if the whole war depended on him alone. And I think it's going to take an attitude like that, Miss Barbara, for us to be able to fight the many wars that I hate to say that the Obama administration has inflicted for Americans and really people throughout the world to fight in these days.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right, Diana.
You know, but when I was listening to that, you know, and what a good man this soldier was. But it reminded me that there were a lot of good young men in those days. And there's a quote in the Iwo Jima monument in Washington, the memorial in Washington. And it's something to the effect that uncommon valor was a common virtue at that time in that war. Uncommon valor was a common virtue. There were so many good young men who displayed such courage and determination and just valor that they believed they were doing their duty, and they were bound and determined to do it and to do it well, even if no one else was, they would be doing it. So, you know, what a testimony. And you know, when I was listening to that also, I was just remembering how President Ronald Reagan loved Americans. He loved, you know, he grew up in the Midwest, and he had the values of the Midwest. He was a humble man, full man. He was a hardworking man. These characters that are part of the American character. And, you know, he identified with hardworking Americans. And, you know, we love that about him. And he would appreciate our American soldiers. So yeah, what a beautiful, I love it when you start to show off President Ronald Reagan's speech there. But you know, Diana, I wanted to begin with a quote by Noah Webster. And a lot of Americans these days don't know a whole lot about Noah Webster, unfortunately. He was one of our great founding fathers. He fought in the War for Independence. And, of course, he gave us our first American dictionary, which was published in 1828. He worked for many, many years to produce it and had to learn many different languages in the process. And but he wrote the American Rubik Speller, which was used in American schools until 1936, which had a catechism, a moral catechism in it also. But it was said about Noah Webster that he taught millions to read, but not one to sin. And in that moral catechism, which was in this American spelling book, okay, for the use in schools in the United States, and as I said, it was used in the public schools until 1936. But it begins with question, what is moral virtue? Answer, it is an honest, upright conduct in all our dealings with men. Question, what rules have we to direct us in our moral conduct? Answer, God's word, contained in the Bible, has furnished all necessary rules to direct our conduct, and so forth and so on. Many questions, many answers about what is truth, purity of heart, what is humility, what is mercy, what is gratitude, what is industry, frugality, charity, and so forth. Training American children to do what's right in God's sight. And he begins his book, Advice to the Young, with the admonition to obey your parents, and it gives a quite lengthy discourse on the necessity of children obeying their parents. That's quite beautiful. And I would like to see a resurgence of interest in Noah Webster, just a gifted American. His father, he did attend Yale, but his father had to mortgage the family farm in order for him to go to Yale. So his father was not wealthy. He was not wealthy. We hear all this propaganda about the wealthy white founding fathers. Well, many of them were not wealthy, Noah Webster being one of them also. Would you like for us to start with prayer, Diana?
Oh, yes, Miss Barbara. If you'd like, I can start with prayer.
Okay, good.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are our Lord, our Savior. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the Bible, Lord, from which, Lord, we can seek understanding on a lot of the things that are going on around us, Lord, how to treat one another, how to act. And Lord, you made laws, Lord. You gave us the Ten Commandments. And, Lord, you gave us those things for a reason, Lord. And, Heavenly Father, it seems like this nation is falling apart. It's being forced to become a nation of lawlessness, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, help us to seek your truth, Lord. And Heavenly Father, may it bless us all. Help us tonight, Lord, as we try to seek you and ask for wisdom and discernment, Lord. And we thank you for, Lord, the past that you've already, Lord, had so many lessons for us and that we can glean from. And I just pray you'll give Miss Barbara, Lord, supernatural anointing and how to help us remember, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. I tried for us to talk about the Stand in the Gap conferences. And, Miss Barbara, the more, you know, we see the troubles of the world, the more I think that's why God wanted it to be called Stand in the Gap. It wasn't just Common Core conferences, but it's really about his people, right? Making right choices. And I think it's about trusting him because there are so many ways we are being pulled. And I think about Eve and the story, you know, in the Garden of Eden. Something as beautiful and simple seemingly as the fruit, you know, why not? What harm could it do? But I think that's where we're at. There's a lot of things being placed before us that it would seem like if we just went this way, what harm would it do, right? It would be crazy not to take advantage. But really, I think even things that seem so simple, they want to make it sound so simple, but really it's a way of pulling us in, isn't it?
Well, you know, the Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And it can be death of conscience. It can be death of, our moral conduct. It can be eternally separated from God. None of us know we're going to die. You know, we think we're invincible, particularly young people think they're invincible, and death seems so far away. But if we die in sin, apart from God, never having repented of our sin and received the eternal life in Christ that God wants to give each one of us on this earth. You know, we don't know when we're going to die. So, you know, there is, we may think these things are right, and in our own eyes they are, and we may think that we have justification for taking a certain course of action. But, you know, the standard, that's man's standard. God's standard is very, very different. And the only way that we will know God's standard is to seek Him and to seek the knowledge of His Word. And then, you know, we find out what He says is acceptable and what He says is right in His sight. He created us. He desires to redeem us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And He has the first word and the last word. So who are we to argue with Him?
Oh, indeed, Ms. Barbara. And I remember having worked for DHR for many, many years and seeing, I hate to say it, you know, there were some parents that I remember would have their children in there and would actually promote life, you know, oh, I'm a single parent, you know, husband's not in the home. And then sadly, you know, later, you know, we find out, yeah, you know, there is a father in the home. That child's father is in the home, and he is working. And I'm sure to their eyes at that point, it seemed like such a little lie because it would give more benefits, right, to the family. But then, Ms. Barbara, I was wondering then, what kind of message are we sending that child? You know, and I think of today, all this illegal immigration, you know, one of the things that parents, I think, are not, you know, thinking of is what kind of a message are we sending to the child? Because really, it's about lawlessness. I think that's pretty much what they're sending a message is, you know, it's almost like you can come to a neighbor and eat their food, live in their house, children sick, take their jobs, and it's okay. Isn't that called stealing?
Well, yes, it is. It absolutely is. And, you know, we hear a lot of different people commenting about the solution to the problem with this invasion of people from south of the border. Do we even have a border? But where are borders supposed to be, this invasion? And, you know, we have the greatest compassion for children. And, you know, I believe that they should be returned and reunited with their parents in their own countries. And it should be done humanely on you know, with medical staff, with food and shelter and clothing, you know, and escorting by the National Guard on buses and so forth, you know, in the very best circumstances we can to reunite them with their families. Children belong with their parents. They don't belong in a strange country where they are subject to all sorts of difficulties, some just as horrendous as the conditions in their own countries, you know. And you know, if we don't do that, we encourage more and more lawlessness, and we cease to become a nation of law and become a nation of men where, you know, whatever men says, you know, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And it says that two different ways in the book of Proverbs in the Bible. But also, you know, in our individual state constitutions, you know, we the wording is such that we have this separation of powers. We have each state is required by law, by the United States Constitution, for each state to have their own constitution, their own plan of government, and that it would be a nation of law, not a nation of men, where men just change the rules anytime to please themselves, you know, and that's what we see being encouraged here, I think. That's what I'm seeing a lot of, that people say, oh, it's the children. Well, yes, it is the children. We must be as caring and humane as possible. I mean, you could have various charitable people from charitable organizations accompany them along with medical staff and, you know, to reunite them. But it's not doing them a favor to let them stay here, and it only encourages more lawlessness, don't you think?
Oh, I think so, Ms. Barbara. It is so, so sad because, you know, and for people to say, Ms. Barbara, that this White House, this Obama administration should not be impeached because we need to wait until Congress, the Senate, has been won over, you know, in the November election. But I'm thinking, as slow as Congress is, you know, if it even gets started now, you know, I doubt that he would even reach the Senate by November. So I'm thinking we need to send a message because it's like we know who's causing this harm, this tremendous harm with entitlement, and it is, unfortunately, it's this administration.
Oh, it is, absolutely. They have advertised freebies, you know, in the countries, Central and South America, they've advertised, which is just, and they've used our tax dollars to do it, Diana. They've used, you know, anyway, yes, this Obama administration is we've never seen any corruption like this, never, ever. In the history of our country, have we seen corruption like this, and a real anti-American agenda, a real anti-American, anti-Constitution, anti-Christian agenda by the Obama administration, and but breaking the law over and over and over again, and no accountability for it. No accountability. He is thumbing his nose at the American people, and he's laughing all the way. He thinks he can get away with it. If they don't impeach him, there are so many charges by which he could be impeached. Now, the Constitution says that the House of Representatives is given the sole power to impeach. Once the House brings the charges and sets up the prosecution for the impeachment, writes the articles of impeachment, and gets ready for the trial. The trial would be presided over by the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, because you are talking about the president here, and it would be prosecuted by members of the House of Representatives like Trey Gowdy and Daryl Issa, and various ones would be prosecuting the case. The Senate would be sitting in judgment. They would be the jury. The Senate is charged with being the jury to bring the verdict of guilty or not guilty. And the president, even though we do believe that, he has committed violations of civil law as well as violations of the Constitution, the Constitution says that the Senate cannot, all they can do is vote to remove him. They cannot prosecute civilly. So if he's guilty of violations of civil law as well as constitutional law, then that would have to be done by the civil government, not by the Congress. So, but the Senate can, so, you know, it takes, it is a long process. And probably by the time of the election, you know, they probably still wouldn't even be ready, but they need to go ahead and start it because it's the right thing to do, because he has violated the Constitution. He has appointed himself with legislative powers. When the Constitution says that all legislative powers are vested in the United States Congress, but he has jumped the fence between the executive branch and the legislative branch. He has jumped the fence. He has usurped the power of the United States Congress, and he has taken that power for himself. And he has, for example, with the Obamacare, the quote-unquote Affordable Care Act, which we know is unaffordable, but anyway, he's made something like 30-some changes that require that requires being made by the United States Congress, because it is there are changes about the law, and only Congress has the authority to make law. But he disregards that. So every one of those cases, those 31, 32, whatever it is, each one would be a different article of impeachment.
Wow. Well, Ms. Barber, I think it would do good to start it, because you know, there's so much he can still do. There's so much damage he can still do, and they really need to have her coming from the Democrats also, you know, on him because of the election coming. Hopefully, you know, the Democrats will see the light. They normally would not, but for the Common Core issue, some of them are more akin to seeing the light. They're seeing the effects on children. So I think this is a good time to do it. And also, it's like, you know, with this illegal immigration, the thing is, you know, I think I saw an article, which I posted something about, really this takes advantage of America's kindness. And lo and behold, here's a Washington Times article that I saw, and it was talking about that. You know, it is really playing up on America's kindness. That is the truth, because, you know, we love children, and they know that. And I had already heard that there were 61,000 housing that was already in the works earlier this year. And so they already knew. They already knew this was a planned event, that they were going to need that housing because of their plan. But, Ms. Barber, I'm thinking something has to be done, because it's now dangerous to, you know, where they're talking about washing up bodies of children, washing up in the Rio Grande, these children that have come along to, you know, because of the parents. I doubt it's a child, the little children that wants to come here. They're being told they must come here.
Yeah.
You know, most children just want to be with their mom and dad wherever that is. We know that.
That's right.
But so they're being forced, and who knows what the inducements are, promises, and probably some money, because they had to use money in order to even be allowed in using these smugglers. These smugglers aren't doing it for free. So we know there's a lot of money getting involved here. And I bet if they really looked into it, it'll be kind of like the drug, the gun smuggling, you know. They will be dirty hands, I think, all the way up in government. But all that to say that now dead bodies of children, but also we're hearing that there's diseases that many of these children are carrying, including drug-resistant TB, tuberculosis, and Dr. Arnott, you know, which he's a doctor, was being interviewed by Judge Jeanine, and he was very, you know, clear. This is very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Well, you know, you've made some really excellent points, Diana, about the additional damage that President Obama could do if he's allowed to remain and action is not taken to impeach him. It would send a message. It would send a message to him and to others who are in cahoots with him, and for those that are running for office, those who are currently in office, it's a message that needs to be sent. You know, it's a legitimate, obviously, it is the legal way of holding a high public official accountable for their actions. And it's one that should be taken with any violation of constitutional law, let alone these numerous violations of law committed by President Obama and his Injustice Department with Eric Holder as Attorney General and so forth, you know, not to mention the EPA and the Health and Human Services and on and on. Department of Education, I mean, we could go on and on here. So it would send a message. It would stop him. It might be the only thing that would stop him acting lawlessly. You know, it might stop him. It might not. I don't know, because nothing else has stopped him, not public opinion, not lack of respect and lack of credibility. Not that hasn't stopped him at all. You know, this might stop him, and it would definitely send a message that needs to be sent, that here in the United States of America, we still do have a constitution that has to be upheld and defended as each one of those in office raised their hand toward Almighty God in heaven and took the oath to support, uphold, defend the Constitution of the United States of America, so help me God. They took that oath. And so they have to be held to that. And, boy, I sure would like to see it. I think if the American people demanded it, perhaps the House of Representatives would do it.
I'm seeing Sarah Palin speak out on that, Ms. Barbara, and I think a lot more people are joining in on that. And some people have voiced that, hey, you have to have a Senate that's also a majority. But I think once they get the point, you can start it. We know it's not going to end anytime soon, unfortunately. You know, wish it was an overnight or even a month-long process or two. But we know they are very, very slow. And
the thing is, even if the election were not upcoming, even so, with a Senate that you know will not, or you think will not hear the evidence and vote him guilty and remove him from office, even if you think the Senate will not do that. Who knows, but once the American people hear the articles of impeachment and hear the prosecution that goes on, because you're going to have a powerful, powerful force from the House of Representatives prosecuting those articles of impeachment. Once the American people hear that, they may demand of their Democrat senators, the American people may demand that they act upon that and find President Obama guilty and remove him from office.
I think you're right, Ms. Barb, because I think bottom line is so many Americans are hurting, and it doesn't have to be that way. Jobs don't have to be taken. We could be very, very successful right now with all the oil that is right here in our United States of America. And, you know, we've got so many resources. But instead, everybody is on pins and needles. It's almost like a dog-eat-dog, you know. And, of course, with the Common Core, the indoctrination going on in our school, too, you know, there's another added stress. I mean, it's bad enough parents, you know, can hardly keep enough money in the house for food and shelter, but they are having to deal with children that, you know, if, unfortunately, making them stay up late at night to do just, you know, an addition or multiplication homework. So there is so much stress, Ms. Barbara, and then we put in the health care, right? Which we know when people are stressed, what happens? They get more sick. The cancers and all that really comes raging because of all the stress. So all the Obama administration policies, Ms. Barbara, it's not just killing the country. I think it's killing people.
I do, too. And you know the stress that the children are under in the schools with the Common Core causing illnesses, causing all manner of illnesses, including mental illnesses from emotional stress and so forth. You know, everything from lack of jobs, you know, we could have had the Keystone Pipeline. We have the EPA coming down hard on small businesses, sending their costs skyrocketing and having to lay off people. You have the coal industry that's being closed down by the Obama administration and numerous other things that are going on. With the coal industry, the electric bills are set to double, and people already suffering financially are going to be having their electric bills double. And it's just a recipe for disaster and the destruction of our country. We've got to stop it. We absolutely have to stop it. And this impeachment. Of course, you know, we'd have to impeach Joe Biden too. And maybe we could get a new Speaker of the House. A good one, and because they're next in line for the presidency after the vice president. So, according to the Constitution,
it is a mess, Ms. Barbara. But maybe I think at the very least, bringing out all the charges as you're saying, you know, they've got to know. The American people need to know. Unfortunately, you know, it's not being covered in the media like it should be. I saw a posting about NBC News, you know, what a shame. But I think it would help maybe, you know, people on both sides of the story get the full brunt of it, because you can't help it. You'll be seeing it pretty much live, you know, the fiasco. But truth is powerful. And who knows, Ms. Barbara, it might even remove some of the blindness that's permeating, you know. I think, and it's so sad, Ms. Barbara, because it's like truth gives life. You know, it gives L-I-G-H-T, light, and I think life. If the truth came out, I think, and the majority of American people really got it, as you were saying, your utility bill's going to double for what? There is no reason. All this hogwash about the EPA, and they've already been proven, right, that, you know, with the climate gate and all that, but all that is a hoax, right? But because laws have been made, we're still sticking to that hoax. We don't even have the, what should I say? we're not even smart enough to undo the mess we put ourselves in believing on a hoax. So, you know, we're killing ourselves for no reason other than to continue believing a lie. And lies, as we've seen in the Garden of Eden, Ms. Barbara, it destroys. It destroys. I mean, there's a land of opportunity in this great nation. And as you pointed out so many times, you know, America is one of the biggest givers the world over. You know, we do. We give to all these foreign countries. You know, Guatemala, Honduras, you know, we send missionaries there. We want to give. We want to love these people and help them. But they don't get it. Then when they make America not just sick, they will destroy America. We won't be there to help them in the future. And I was thinking, Ms. Barb, maybe one of the things that we could use to help them kind of wake up to the fact is withhold the aid. A lot of these countries are getting aid from us. Why should we continue when those that need the aid are coming here?
That's right. I haven't heard it put quite that way. You're absolutely right. We're going to need that money right here because they're all coming here and going to have to. We'll take that money that we were going to use for aid and keep it right here so we can have the money to pay for all the food and housing and health benefits and all the material benefits that these people are going to need.
I think Louis Gomer would like that, Ms. Barbara. I think Louis Gomer would like that idea. I believe Martha Roby would like that idea, don't you?
Well, I don't know, because I remember being in a meeting where one of our Dothan citizens was upset about the money we're giving to foreign aid and that we really need to stop giving it. And Representative Martha Roby pulled up a chart immediately showed where it was just a small amount that we were giving worldwide compared to all the other spending expenditures. So I think she supports giving foreign aid because she defended it right here in Dothan. So I don't know whether she would support that.
Well, she might support it. It makes a good sound. It makes a good sound bite.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming here. Why send it there? They're here. Anyway, let's cut out the middleman.
Why send it there? Why send it there when they're coming here? I like it.
Yeah. And they're forcing it. I mean, they're forcing it upon us. And then to top it off, to bite the hand that feeds you, to allow and really force these children to be brought here that are sick, that should not be here. When school comes in the fall, these parents have no clue, Ms. Barbara. We have no clue. It's like I was reading an article, I think it was Washington Times, no, Fox News, and it was saying the border agents are saying, you know, you're not going to feed on these kids right now, but, a lot of these children are carriers of these things. So can you imagine when school starts and parents start finding out that their children have been exposed to TB? It's heartbreaking to think
a tuberculosis that is not easily treatable. It's a drug-resistant tuberculosis.
And Barbara, people think, you know, that's like, oh, you know, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. But I'm thinking, you know, every child should be important.
Yes.
And the facts are here. How can you doubt that these things are not happening? I mean, the border agents are talking about it. They should know. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's dangerous. And for us to be asleep on the issue is very dangerous for our citizens and for the children we love. I mean, that's really what makes me upset, Ms. Barbara, when people say, you know, I don't want to listen to what's going on. Well, that might have been fine many years ago, but in today's world, Ms. Barbara, I mean, the safest place is the schools. And I hate to say it, it's going to be like a war zone.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Diana, the world has changed a lot in my lifetime. And I was thinking, you know, growing up in the 50s and 60s, we were fighting the Cold War and the threat of communism. But in those days, we knew how to read. People read the newspapers. The news media was not so heavily biased as it is today, although it was biased with a liberal slant. Even in those days, it was. That had already become very, very evident. But you know, the movies, the TV programs were of a fairly high moral standards. And so people were readers. They paid attention to the news. Now, these days, many families never watch the first news program, which could be very beneficial these days with the extremely radical leftist news organizations. But just saying, they're not interested in what's going on in this country or in the world, and our lack of knowledge about current events is very pitiful, very pitiful. And so we have this barrage of entertainment that is designed to reduce the attention span of not only children but adults as well. And so, you know, all of these things together, this administration, the education system, all of this, entertainment industry, da-da-da-da-da-da, is working together to produce this perfect storm to bring down the United States of America. And we see it happening before our eyes, don't we? And it's so frustrating that we can't stop it, although we've got to keep trying because it's the right thing to do. And we have to believe that there is still hope to stop it. We do have some encouraging signs, like this new movie out by Dinesh D'Souza, America, What Would the World Look Like If America, If There Was No America? You know, and various things. So, you know, we have reason for hope, most importantly because the God that we love and serve is a God of all hope. The Bible says that. He is the God of all hope. He is the God of all encouragement. So we are to be encouraged. We are to have hope. And we are to do what's right. Whether or not it makes a difference, we're to continue to do what's right. We're to occupy this earth until he comes to take us home to be with him, you know. So, you know, whether it looks discouraging or not, you know, we we have reason to be encouraged because God is the God of all encouragement.
And Ms. Barbara, I would hope too that the people would remember. I love that Hosea 4:1. My people perish for lack of knowledge, and because they have rejected my knowledge, I have also forgotten their children. It affects the children. I'm not wording it just right.
Yes.
But I'm thinking to myself, you know, we're informing the listeners, and we're going to have conferences throughout this. We're calling it Stand in the Gap, and we'll talk about it again another night. We didn't get to talk about it like I had put up there. But it's so timely, Ms. Barbara, because it is the body of Christ that has to stand in the gap. And our voices needs to be heard by Almighty God. But at the same time, too, Ms. Barbara, we can also make the phone calls, you know, with a pushing of buttons, you know, pressing buttons with our fingers and just making a few comments. We can make a difference, you know, at the very least, you know, ask, I think, for this administration to do what you're saying, which is set up health centers right there where the children are at the very least examined. Because, Ms. Barbara, I would gladly help a child who is foreign-born if they need help, even if they had TB. But I would hope that I would not get another child sick, you know, because of lack of knowledge, you know? I mean, you know, I as an adult have the mentality to say, okay, I choose to love that child, and if I die exposing myself, that's fine. But what we're going to do and what this administration is doing is exposing innocent children that does not yet have that mentality to choose life or death, you know?
That's right.
And,
they're not exposing themselves. They are exposing innocent children. That's right.
And that's the part that I think we have got to get across. And I say, I want to love these children like everybody that seems to be crying out as if we're not caring. No, that is not it. The problem is you're going to expose children that's never done anything, you know,
right. But
trusted in the United States of America, right? And and I think their parents have done the same thing, have trusted the United States of America, and we have let them down. So I just pray that you would make that phone call. And I think that's not a big thing to ask. It's the right thing to do, isn't it, Ms. Barbara? At the very, very least, as Dr. Arnott had said, in every refugee or whatever camps he goes to, they set up tents where children or whoever are examined to take their own population.
Well, you know,
so that's what I'm hoping.
I think back to Ellis Island, at Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, the place where the screening was done. If you had any kind of disease, you were sent back across the ocean. You were not permitted to come into the country. You go to any country in the world, and you will not be permitted to enter their country if you have a disease. It's not just the United States that did it. It's every country has to be responsible, you know, for their own citizenry. You can only have authority over what you are responsible for and vice versa. If you have authority, then you bear a responsibility. And, you know, It's just the right thing to do, and I'm going to make those calls. And Diana, it's so easy because I just have put the numbers of my representative and my senators into my phone, and it's a simple matter of pressing one button, and, you know, right there, takes me right there to Washington, D.C., where they are, where their offices are, and to make those comments. And people need to realize that we don't have to know everything there is to know before we make that call. So many times people are hesitant to do that, to make that call, because they think, well, what if they ask me a question that I can't answer? They don't ask any questions. I wish they would ask questions. You know, I'd love to give them more a piece of my mind, but they don't ask questions. It's very cut and dried, and so be bold and make that call, and you'll be glad you did. You'll be proud of yourself for taking a stand on something very, very important. So let's do that tomorrow.
And save lives, right, Ms. Barbara, because, you know, listeners, it could be your own family. You know, it could be your own family. I mean, this is like a Pandora's box. And really, this kind of proves if they do not do this very least, Ms. Barbara, the intent was never to help anybody but to destroy this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we pray, we pray that we'll help. So, Ms. Barbara, would you mind closing us? And, oh, will maybe our awesome Almighty God would hear our plea, Ms. Barbara, and just forgive us and help us through these times.
Yes, let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you, Lord, that we can turn to you in our need. Father, that it's your desire to help your people. That's your desire. Father, we thank you for your great love for all of us. Every person in the world, Father, you have created in your own image and likeness, and you have a great love, such a great love that you sent your only begotten Son to this earth to take on humanity and to bear the sin, to make the payment for sin so that we wouldn't have to, so we could receive our Savior and be with you forever throughout all eternity. Father, that you demonstrated your love while we were yet enemies with you. You did that for each and every one of us. So, Father, we thank you for your love for all of us and these children that are flooding across into the United States. Father, you care for them. And your people care for them. Show us, Father, show those who are making decisions how to take care of them rightly, but how to reunite them, Father, with their families in their own countries. That's your desire. We know it is because you created families, oh Lord. And we want them to have the security and the safety of being with their loved ones, Lord. Not floundering about in some strange land to them. Father, we do pray for a right solution, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to join together in prayer about this issue. Father, we thank you that you're not finished with us as a country yet. That there might be days ahead for us yet. Father, we would pray that you would raise up laborers to go into the fields that are white for harvest, bringing many souls into your kingdom. We pray for a great awakening, Lord. Father, we know that that's the only way that there will be real and lasting and true change in our country and in the world. So, Father, we pray it, Father, and we pray 2 Chronicles 7:14, Father, that your people, that we would turn from our wicked ways, that we would pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek you, O God, and that you would forgive our sin and heal our land. We pray for a great revival in your church, Lord, in the body of Christ, blood-bought people of God who love you. We pray for that great revival. Pray it not only for ourselves, but throughout the world as well. Oh, Father, we need you so desperately. Hear our prayer. Answer our prayers. Answer the prayers of your people, oh God. I know you desire to. Father, we pray for our military. I pray, Father, that every time that we see a helicopter or we see anything that would remind us of our military, I pray, Father, that your people would lift them up to you and that you would bless them, Father, with your provision and your protection and your presence, oh God. Pray that for all of us as well. We pray most especially, O Lord, for Israel during this time of crisis. I pray, Father, that your truth would become evident throughout the world, that Israel lets people know what they're going to do, even lets their enemies know what they're going to do so that the children that can take cover and take safety, Lord, so they won't be harmed. We ask that you bless Israel with wisdom and courage and strength and knowledge and victory, Lord, over their enemies. And we pray all of this in the mighty name and the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Ms. Barbara. God bless you. And listeners, we're so grateful that you've joined us. We will be talking about the Stand in the Gap conferences coming up. And it is really timely because God's word is really reminding us to turn to him. It is time. So many are suffering. And unfortunately, even the most innocent is in danger. So we hope that, you know, that you will open up your Bible if you've not been doing that lately. Reach out to God. He's ready to meet you. He says, abide in him and he will abide in you. And really all the answers that we need, it's in there in that good book called the Holy Bible. Right, Ms. Barbara?
That's right. Absolutely.
What a great treasure we have, and God made it so easy. All of us can pretty much in this great nation get one. So please get yourself time with the Lord, especially during these trying times when, you know, the enemy wants to confuse us. So, but God is good. He's already answered our questions many times over in this book called the Holy Bible. So may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. And please, Wednesday night, we are going to have a special show with Joan Landis on. Ms. Barbara, it's our time. She's coming on this Wednesday night. And there's a chance we have an additional guest coming on. So so please be in tune for that. Same time, 8:30 this Wednesday night. So God bless you, everyone. Share the podcast. Tell folks to go to www.cityonahill.tv and make the phone call to Congress and the White House. Start with 202-224-3121. Ask for your congressman's woman's name, and they will patch you through to the right number. So 202-224-3121, and then ask for the White House number and give them a piece of your mind. Be courteous, though. May God bless you. Goodbye.